time you start buying land?
How are we gonna restore 15 to 20 million jobs? I am your future.
Isn't it about time for a change?
We're our national leaders.
AmericanWorkersRadio.com. You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products, with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio. As you know, we broadcast on 860 AM, which serves Philadelphia, southeastern Pennsylvania, the state of New Jersey, and northern Delaware. However, you can listen to us from anywhere in the USA or around the world simply by logging on to SaturdayVarietyProgram.com or AmericanWorkersRadio.com. I mentioned the both of them today because both of them do have all of our links on there to help us promote more and more of our efforts to unite people to support one another. If you go to AmericanWorkersRadio.com on Wednesdays between 11 a.m. and 12 noon, you click on the Listen Live link. If you come anytime, day or night, you can just click on the Listen Anytime link and go right to our broadcast. We have a lot of information we're going to share with you today. We're going to hear from as many people as we can on all of their thoughts at what's happening these days going on in the USA. And I would like to say a special thank you as we begin. Special thank you to Mark Andel, founder of the Made in America store. And I want to remind you that on the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com, you will find a picture of Mark. You'll also see his Made in America store. And Mark is also the host of the Made in America radio show. Then we have our national small business advocate, Larkin Connolly, who is a national figure, well known for all of his thinking and suggestions. And then we have Rich Logis, who will be with us on the second half of today's broadcast. Our engineer is Henry Chaplinsky, and I'm Michael Blihash. Always pleased to have you here with us on a Wednesday morning. And of course, thanks to our great panel members who helped to bring some special thinking, some color to the broadcast. Well, you know, ladies and gentlemen, and Mark and Larkin and everybody listening knows, it's often said that great memories are made when we gather with family and friends around the table. I think that's a great statement. And as we gather for our Wednesday broadcast of American Workers Radio, we are a family of supporters promoting the Buy American Made campaign, the greatest accomplishment that any of us can do, because we know that we are supporting not only our own families, but families, friends, neighbors, and all Americans. Our purpose is to spread a patriotic message, to support our fellow Americans, young, old, and in between. And we meet people of all races, colors, creeds, who want to be employed and have a slice of the American dream. You know, everybody in America needs to have a slice of the American dream. We have to look at people for the greatness about them and for what they have to offer. And I would like to see all of us in the United States of America not focus on race, color, or creed, which I feel is dividing the people, but we should be focusing on the changed America that we've been enjoying for many years. Maybe there was a lot of division a century or more ago, but today we can't say that this is the way we've been doing things, because that's really not what we've been all about. We've been promoting jobs and things like that. And because many people did not pay attention to what they were supposed to, we lost a lot of our jobs. And now here we are wondering, when are we going to get things back moving? And I'd like to see many of our people in leadership really go out of their way to start promoting America first. And by the way, people seeking a job or a promotion for a job, it should all be based on the quality of what they have to offer, never on race, color, or creed. I'd like to turn for the next few minutes to Mark Andel. And by the way, Mark sent me an email this past week talking about some of the manufacturing groups and things like that. Mark, can you give us a little report on your email?
Yeah, how you doing, Mike? I think Larkin's on. Rich, Henry, thanks for making us sound good and taking the call. You could hang up on me. I told Henry it's like a winter wonderland here in Buffalo. We've got about 2-3 inches of snow overnight. It's funny when you said gather around a table, I'm thinking it's the holidays here looking out the window, Mike. You never know in Buffalo, but yeah, we're supposed to get 2 to 8 inches. crazy times. I put the plow on last night, but yeah, we've got about two inches or so right now. But yeah, a lot going on. You know, first, Made in America, the movement, very strong. And, you know, the science of that is the visits to our store and the people coming in. We're adding new products. You know, we try to get somebody on my other show, a CEO of a company, and talk about the times and, you know, making things in America. So that's great to see, great to hear. People are doing their homework. So thank you, even our listeners, Mike, and all you do. A lot of things going on, and I like to talk about the brutal facts that we must bring up, and that's the rapid inflation going on, the shortage of skilled workers, and people walking out on jobs because they can collect the unemployment an extra $300. So I've got a lot of stories on that. First, like the rapid inflation, we talked about steel going from, you know, again, 45 cents a pound to about $1.20 right now. Wood, plywood's almost at $70, a 4x8 sheet by half inch. And every other shortage from chips for the auto industry and aluminum. But then we've got, I talked to business people all week, Mike, trying to sell a job is very hard in this environment because, you know, the rapid inflation makes you look like you're overcharging to the customer, so they're not used to it because it's not shown nationally. Should be first on World News tonight, talking about what's going on out there, rapid inflation. And also the companies, I just had a lumber mill locally, a customer of mine, a friend that builds homes. Not only is this really killing him quoting his jobs, he just can't win one because people just don't understand why. Why did wood go 8 times as much? Why is this so much? Last year it wasn't. But also this lumber company had a lady walk out of the office because other people wouldn't wear a mask, and then a couple drivers of their trucks walked out because they said, I make $17, I might as well go on unemployment and check. So, you know, collect the check. So you got all types of things going on. So first, rapid inflation, Mike, I just believe it should be talked about more. It's going up and up every part of our components to manufacture, like our trailers, daily, so that needs to be talked about. And then we've got this problem where they're giving out free money. Some people, of course, need it, but some don't, and it's causing this problem in the workforce. We can't get workers, and especially part-time workers, but skilled trade workers, you just can't find them, and you can't grow your business without them. So I'd like to talk about that today, the rapid inflation going on everywhere. That's going to affect all of us. CarMate trailers I sell, Mike, we build our own trailers, but we sell CarMate. They put a letter out yesterday to get a simple, I'm going to look at it right now on my email, but to get a simple utility trailer like we build, it's going to take 10 to 12 months. So if you ordered a trailer today as a dealer, we're a dealer, we order a trailer, we're going to get it 10 to 12 months from today. That puts in February to April next year, I won't see that trailer. So we lose all them sales. And the problem they're having, they can't get the supplies. So I'm talking about the price increases on supplies, but you can't get them. So they can't get the supplies to build their trailers, and also they can't find workers once they have the supplies to build the trailer. So I'd like to talk about them items today, Mike.
You know, Mark, first of all, when you mentioned about people just wanting to quit or go on unemployment, I mean, normally a person goes to the unemployment system with a notice that their employer has given them unemployment notice. They're going to be unemployed right as of a particular day. I've been hearing this on a regular basis, that there's a lot of people just taking advantage of the system.
Absolutely, Mike.
Some are saying that they're not well, they're frightened to come in, and maybe within 4 or 5 months things get better, they'll be able to come in. I don't understand it.
Yeah, so COVID became this ultimate excuse, too. And there's people still in fear, and I've got a couple stories I'll tell you later about that.
Now, Mark, where is your lumber coming from?
So the lumber is from Even 84 Lumber is a distributor here, a regular like Lowe's and whatnot. But everything, you know, the problem with lumber is I had an interesting guy on my other show. They make, from wine racks to rolling pin and kitchen products, okay, out of hardwood. So he can't get hardwood because the mills switched to making your softer woods, your pines and whatnot, because of the house building. So the lumber mills switched to getting more pine than hardwood, so getting hardwood is very hard. But then demand is out there, but the lack of workers is causing a lot of issues too, Mike. So there's so many, you know, sides of this. You can't get the product. The price is 4 to 8 times at least more, and then you can't sell the job because it's hard to tell your customer. They want you to you can't quote today. You can do only 24-hour quoting, so very difficult to tell a customer once you started a project, even if it was a kitchen rebuild, and then all of a sudden the prices went up. Hey, we got to double this now as you're in the job. That just doesn't work in business. So very, very tough times, Mike, for businesses.
I hear this through the real estate industry. Some people want to put their house up for sale, and they need to get new windows or something to make the sale possible go through, and it's almost impossible to get the supplies and mainly impossible to get the workers.
Yeah, now so, here's something I heard yesterday. This SK Adams, they make really fine kitchenware, you know, all types of wood products. They also said they found a few people moving back because people are moving out of the cities. It's happening as we speak, going more to their rural areas, which might help get more workers too. So there's all different angles we're picking up on this.
Interesting, Mark. And now how about the steel for those trailers that you're ordering? Where's that coming from?
Yeah, the steel, there's only a few mills, I believe. And again, we've got to get Scott Ball on, but there's only about 12 mills, so they're coming out of the country. I do request, you know, U.S.-made steel, but that isn't the problem lately, just getting steel. The supply demand, the prices increase because they just can't get it fast enough. But I guess the mills and most places are complaining they don't have the workers to make more. You know, if the demand's up, you need more workers to grow your company, and you can't grow that company without workers. So, again, it comes back on the skilled workers, too, Mike.
So what you're saying, Mark, is that over the years, as we allowed our mills to die, we
Absolutely.
Are now being haunted by it because there's no workers, no supply, and the demand is there, and it's almost unbelievable.
Yeah, we had hundreds, if not thousands, of mills. To say you have 10 or 12, and if I'm off, if you had 20, is still incredibly low for the United States of America.
Oh, that's unbelievable. Now, can you imagine we have 50 states, and you have 12 mills? What kind of monkey business is that? That's crazy.
Right, right.
I mean, I can just remember driving through Bucks County, and there were many, many plants there. Today, they're all closed up. I don't understand that.
If you were getting overseas steel, Mike, the shipping containers, and they're saying 2 to 3 times more the cost to get it here also. So you got all these things you try to balance and figure out. You know, but 2 plus 2 don't equal 4 these days. It's just a weird environment.
Well, it's time now for the people at the top, not only the people at the top in government, elected people, but in the businesses to really start speaking up. Larkin made a good point last week when he said that it's time for people at the top of these corporations and organizations to start uniting, talking common sense. You know, too much went unnoticed. And for 30, 35 years, unfortunately, I can't find any record of anyone saying, oh my goodness, we can't allow this to happen to America. Everybody seemed to just look the other way as the jobs were taken out slowly and just never said too much because it would take away the profit that they were able to generate from these places at the cost of American workers.
Yeah, the government and states made mistakes now by giving this extra $300 now, which used to be $6, but you can get that to September 6th. What I mean, that COVID is the ultimate excuse. No matter what, if somebody leaves, walks out here, and we try to file that they shouldn't get unemployment, they do. You can't beat it. No matter what, COVID is the ultimate excuse. You're getting unemployment, and you're getting the $300.
Yep. Now, what happens in after September the 6th when this bonus goes away? What's going to happen?
If it goes away, though, Mike.
If is the question. And,
yeah,
you know,
that's a problem.
America's already $28 trillion in debt. How much more can we go for? How much more can our future, our children, grandchildren, and their grandchildren go for this kind of leadership. This is total. They're talking about everything but making things better for the American worker and their families. And I'm going to mention something today I did in a commentary, and I'd like to take this opportunity to say thank you to the radio broadcasters that do air my commentary during their programs all over the USA during their public service time. It's really been great to hear from people, and people tune in, and I even got a lot of Saturday listeners from those people looking up to where all this is coming from, and these commentaries, and also it's worked out very well. Mark, we're going to get back to you. Larkin, tell me everything. What have you seen? What would you like to bring to the table today?
Well, as usual, I'd like to open up by commenting on what Mark has said. Mark said that he thought that we ought to be talking more about inflation and unemployment. Mark, where are we talking about it at all? National news media.
Nothing.
Have you heard anywhere in national news media about the prices being paid? If you want to test the waters and see if it's seriously hurting your neighborhood, go down to the contractor checkout line of any Home Depot or Lowe's and just stand in that little area and listen to what these contractors are saying to the checkout girl.
That's a great idea, Larkin, because this is happening.
And there's not a word, and I mean a word, being said by any news, let's say electronic news media, anywhere, from the Foxes to the CNNs to the ABC, CBS, NBCs, is talking about it. The other thing is, nobody's talking about the debt, and you ask a great question about debt. What a serious problem this is. And everybody says, well, everybody's in debt. I wish that would have worked when my father found a piece of mail from MasterCard. I got a college MasterCard, and I owed them money, and I was behind a month. Well, everybody gets behind. And my father said, maybe everybody does, but you aren't everybody. You're a member of this family, and you will pay your dues. You will pay that which you owe another man. No scufflaws here. No, you know, we're just not going to do it. So, but I wanted to bring something else up that I even saw yesterday before Mark brought this up. And that was Governor Wolf was asked if an employer calls an employee back to work and they say that they will not come back because they're making more on unemployment, is that employee required to go back to work? And Governor Wolf said, no, you do not have to go back to work, and can keep collecting unemployment. And they can keep collecting unemployment. He also said that as a former business owner, that a small business could simply raise the compensation of the employee. It's not, I'm not sure if Governor Wolf realizes that most small businesses of any kind are weak and can hardly make payroll.
He's never had a business, obviously.
No, he did. He owned an enormous cabinet business. He's one of the country's largest cabinet makers.
Oh, wow.
But he sold it for millions and millions of dollars.
Oh.
and the people who bought it from him kind of ran it into the ground a little bit, and he took it back. And I'm not sure, I can't say for sure whether he sold it again, but to say he's not a businessman, that's why I thought to myself, well, I'm not going to complain out loud a lot if we've got this kind of a businessman running the state.
That's a good point, Larkin. I did not know. I thought that there was a way that the unemployment system contacted your employer to find out if work was available and if you were eligible to go back. Now, if they said, I'm not going back because there's been a major COVID outbreak, that may be able to go on for another month or, but not just for the sake of what, you know what I'm saying?
So I'm running want ads, you know, looking for people at the counter, whatever we need. So the resumes or applications will come, and they're barely filled out. We'll call the person. They don't want to come in. So what they're doing is just putting a name to a company so to say that they did fulfill their obligation
right.
to look for work. And we're seeing on the other side, these want ads are terrible. The people don't even come in. Well, they don't want to come in.
Yeah.
They want work.
I hear this all the time, too. Yeah. And, you know, there are, especially like the tourist season is coming out. I'm pleased to say that tourists are returning. Some people just need to get out. They're not the faraway people coming in from all over the USA, but they are people from the tri-state area. And I had many opportunities to talk to them. They do want to see things get back to normal very, very badly. And that's a great thing for me. We're even trying to get some of the public events back to normal in some way, especially those that are on television and people can see it without being there in person. But you need leadership to do that. Without leadership, nothing is going to happen. Dreamers dream and leaders lead. I mean, that's the old expression that I've always stated, and I don't know what else we can do. It's hard to get a businessman to speak up if he's satisfied with the way things are going. Well, Larkin, you said last week, can we get some of these business leaders together? Well, in many cases, some of the people don't want to get together because they feel that they're going to share trade secrets and people are going to ask how much the employees are paid, that it could turn more ugly than be a positive activity to get the people together. So it is this, the country has gone crazy.
It is going crazy. And it's getting crazier every day.
Every day.
And when you say, you know, we're going to check unemployment to see, come on. We would have been bankrupt 2 days after we started our business if we were as incompetent as the United States government. We wouldn't have lasted 2 days. They are the most incompetent organization that the world has ever seen. It's a fact. I can prove it on so many different levels. It's not funny. I don't say it with any amount of glee, but I will say the government has no place in running day-to-day business, in affecting day-to-day business, in any sense of operation. The government owes us a common defense.
Mm-hmm.
It does not owe me 435 people in Washington, D.C., telling me how I should educate the kids in my school district. And it doesn't have the right to tell me they're going to collect money from all over the country, from people. The thing that's got me fired up now is Biden's new tax plan. I don't know who's had a chance to review it, but I couldn't get past the death tax. You know, let's just assume that Mark and his lovely, lovely wife continue to grow that brand, and they have a bubbling business. And they turn to their daughter and say, in our waning days, we would like to sail around the world a little bit and kind of enjoy each other's company, and we're going to turn the business over to you. And they disappear, and ultimately, because of time, expire and cross the golden bridge, as they say. The government is going to tax your daughter for half the value of that business. Period, amen. You can't pass your family business to your family without them paying a tax to get it. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, that is very sick. That is extremely, extremely sick. There have been some people trying to work on it, but it hasn't been very successful. The death tax has been changed around a little bit, but it's still there. And some people in more recent months want to return it to where it was because they see that they do need additional funds for paying for a lot of these programs. How are they going to pay the money and keep it in circulation? So let's raise up the corporate tax to 25 or 28 from the 21 we dropped it to, and let's drop the tariffs and let bring more and more people in the country. First of all, Larkin, we discussed it many times. How can we bring in more people to America when we can't take care of the 40 million people living on bare minimum wages or in poverty? How can we bring even one person here? Yet no one wants to answer that question.
If you work for the federal government inside the Beltway, you don't have the sense to come in out of the rain. And I'll say that to each and every one of them, both sides, both parties, in any dimension that they're functioning in now, the House, the Senate, the executive branch, I'm going to tell them they don't have any sense whatsoever. See, there's a common axiom. If you put everybody back to work, if you get industry flowing again, then the true meaning of the business of government is business comes to light. There's more taxes paid. There's more payroll taxes paid, sales tax. Everything is paid. Everything is paid more. The machine is running, and it's paying everybody that is standing at the machine trying to make it operate. And what do? Nah, we don't want that happening. Why would we want that happening? We want everybody to stand around and understand that they on the government to take care of them for the rest of their life, no matter what.
Right, right.
And it's absolute insanity.
And you know, Larkin, I agree with term limits very, very much. 8 years, 12 years the most, and thank you for your great service and goodbye. Some of these people that have been in there 40, 38, 42 years, I mean, is there no one else from their state or their districts there that could have some new ideas, some modern ideas? It doesn't make any kind of sense to me. We talk about, people are always telling me about the schools, about education. You know, Larkin, Mark, Henry, you, all listening, know, we as the taxpayers pay for the schools. We pay the bills for America's schools. And yet we don't have a say whatsoever about what is taught in the schools, yet we're paying the bill without being given even an opportunity to give an opinion. If we want more trades in the school, Mark, you're always pushing, let's get the trades. I'm pushing, get the trades back. Larkin, you know what it's all about. You've been doing it through SCORE and all. You see what went on 20 years ago and what's been going on the last 5 years. You know what the story is. If we need to have more of those trades, how are we, the taxpayers paying the bill, going to be able to speak up about it? We can't. We can't tell the schools that we need to fill the jobs that are open right now and maybe even replace the American people considering or retiring. We as the taxpayers need to have our voice heard in the primary and the general election, and yet they don't want to allow it. It's been suggested by me 50, maybe 50 times or more, and yet they say, well, it should be left up to the parents. I said, okay, then put it on the obligation of every parent coming in to vote. Give them a 2 or 3 days in case they work days and nights. Nobody wants to do it. They just want to continue. And by the way, none of us would ever believe that school boards would be acting the way they are. They just do whatever they think. They don't want to bring any new ideas to the table. A school board really should be elected to ensure that what the ideas of the taxpayers, the voters,
Mike,
are.
I just talked to a town councilman here, and he said he has no authority with the school board. They want
right
to talk with them back and forth, but they won't let them. School board has its own agenda and its own, they just do their own thing, you know, and that's a huge problem, the disconnect from the town leaders to the school leaders. It should be everybody involved.
This is something, you know, we talked about the businesses starting to speak up. I really think parents parents should speak up, especially that we have to remember that not every young man or young woman is going to be heading to college. So why not prepare them for a job, a manufacturing job? And somebody, we were just joking, Larkin, you have to tell me this answer. When I say manufacturing, when we talked about manufacturing, somebody chastised me. They said, Michael, ask Larkin for the description of manufacturing. What exactly does manufacturing mean to you, Larkin?
Well, first of all, manufacturing as a process.
Yeah, what does it mean?
Or manufacturing as a definition by the Small Business Administration.
As a definition of the Small Business Administration.
Oh, well, it's anybody with 500. Oh, okay, manufacturing. I was going to give you the definition of a small business. Manufacturing is when you take a group of component parts and somehow put them together and produce something that wasn't there before you got started. I mean, I don't know a better description of it.
This gentleman runs a pizza shop, and he said to me, Michael, make sure you let it known that as a pizza maker, I'm also a manufacturer. I take the dough, I start it out, then I put whatever the customer wants, 10 things, 12 things, and it's a finished product, put in a box and delivered to them just like any other product. And my hoagies are the same way. So everybody in some ways involved in manufacturing. Yes.
I've got to jump in here because when I joined the ECIDA, Erie County Industrial Development Association, years ago, I didn't even know what them five letters stood for. Back in, that was 1994. But they challenged me that I manufacture trailers, and I just want to bring the story up. So I said I take raw material, weld it together, assemble it with other components, and make a product, like Larkin just said. They said, no, we don't consider that manufacturing. I said, what do you mean? They said, no, turning sand into glass is manufacturing. So, Larkin, you could imagine this challenge. I was 23 years old. I'm like, no, I manufacture. And they wanted, no, turning sand into glass. So I had a guy stick up for me that ended up losing his job a year later. But this is the type of things out there, too. So the pizza guy I'm with.
Yeah, he's taking raw materials. Yeah, he's putting them on a pizza, baking it up. He's manufacturing whatever you want. You go to the hoagie place and you put in all whatever kind of meat and lettuce, tomatoes.
I still say that's a stretch. if you're making a hoagie and you're manufacturing, then who isn't manufacturing at home then?
Pizza manufacturers this weekend, Henry.
Support all pizza manufacturers, all hoagie manufacturers.
I can't wait to tell my kids that I manufactured their breakfast this morning.
Well, you did. You made them what they wanted. I mean, this guy was really funny. He said to me, I'm in manufacturing. And I says, oh, and I just didn't know what to think. He says, Michael, you tell Larkin, making a pizza is not as easy as one might think. I have to go to my supply chain for the dough. I have to go, and get all the ingredients, the tomato, whatever the people want on the pizza. That is also a form of manufacturing. I said, okay, very good. So for all of our pizza makers, our hoagie makers, our bakers, our tailors, all of you are part of manufacturing.
I'm with them. I want to see them at the board of the ECIDA or Industrial Development Association. Resolution, cheaper loans. We're making, and they should.
Right. And, by the way, this guy is a character, and he would really be able to brutalize quite well.
Oh, you'd love to see it. Video it, right?
Yes, Larkin.
Well, I was just going to say, calling him a manufacturer is like calling Henry a priest because he prays. It's a little bit of a stretch, In my world, he's very important, very, very, very important. And is he a manufacturer? Sure, he's a manufacturer. Hey, the people who make cookies, Tate's cookies, and the people, they're manufacturers. Well, what about people like Nabisco that manufactures a gazillion cookies a day. They're manufacturers in my mind's eye.
His point, Larkin, was that sometimes for many years, people thought manufacturing was a bad word. It was like, oh, you're standing on a production line. He said, no, I love what I do. I can't wait for the phone to ring to know what the person wants and get it ready. He said, manufacturing is a very good word. And I said, I'll make sure that's spread along. I want to tell you this, guys, just to say this. Right now, I'm glad that we're talking about all these things. I wish people in the national news media would start already. We had enough of all the other issues that have been taking place lately. Let's get people moving in this country, because millions of workers that are unemployed by the pandemic, not just those looking to be unemployed because so they can get some extra benefits, but those that really want to go back to work need to get back to work. We have millions of people that are seeking their first time opportunity and they couldn't do it because the companies were closed. We have to get and encourage those businesses to make things here in the United States of America so the shortages that Mark was talking about don't occur again. We need to make those things. We have to grow all of our businesses, as Larkin says so often. The supply chain is very difficult to understand that we let it get to this point. But most of all, at this time, there are tens of millions of American families that need to know that America's consumers are supporting efforts like the Buy American Made campaign, which is doing its best to urge businesses and investors to manufacture, distribute, sell their products right here in the United States. So people, go out, talk up to your local store people, let them know that you're coming out to support their store, because it is tough times, and when the tough times get better, you'll support them even more. We have a special guest on the radio, Dr. Rich Logis. How you doing, Rich?
Hi, Michael. Everybody, good morning. Sorry for coming on late today, but I wanted to make sure to come on to Lark and Mark, our audio engineer, our listeners, to make sure that I let everyone know what my to be clear and transparent, I purchased, Mark, this week a green screen. I asked you, Mark, if you knew of anyone manufactured them, and I did find a company that some of their parts on it are U.S. made, and the reason it doesn't qualify, Mark, as American made, and interestingly, this company I spoke with didn't know this, that the reason it doesn't qualify made in America, and this is why I say it's perhaps a little bit of cheating on my part, the reason it doesn't qualify as American made is because most of the key components on it are not made here. So that's broadly speaking, Mark, right, the qualification a company has to meet to have a made in America label, the majority of the key components of the product have to be made here. But it was a purchase that I needed to make. I did search around. Some companies I spoke to didn't know if any of their components were made in the U.S., so I just went on to the next one until I found a company. So I had to go through about half a dozen companies, Mark. And even though it might be a tiny, tiny win, I'd still rather have, 10 or 20% of something than 100% of zero.
Absolutely.
Well, I would said. Prefer. Right? I'd prefer to have 10 or 20% than 100% of zero. So, and again, Mark, you're always exempt from what we talk about weekly, because you buy hundreds, if not thousands, of American-made products. And I've got another gift card, Mark, that I need to spend, so I'm going to be calling you up, because you got a hat there that I want. Mark's got a great Don't Tread on Me hat that's on his store, which is the Gadsden flag. That's the snake, the rattlesnake with the 13 rattles representing the colonies. Mark, I love that hat. I'm buying that this week.
Excellent.
And everybody, make sure you go on Mark's site and do support his store. It's right linked on the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com.
But, Mark, it shows you how, and Larkin, this is something that you've brought up before. Mark, and this is not Mark, I'm not criticizing you saying this. Your phone should be ringing off the hook every day.
Right.
Because the products research on your store, website and store, are products that people buy every single day. I understand maybe not, you know, I don't buy barbecue sauce every day, but there are millions of Americans who do, and one day I'll buy barbecue sauce, right? Phone should be ringing off the hook. But it's more convenient. It's more convenient, Mark. It's less of an avoidance of pain, more a pursuit of pleasure to just buy all the foreign-made stuff.
And, you know, by the way, Mark has redneck original 1776 barbecue sauce. Check it out. Very good. I'm glad to see that. Barbecue sauce is the best. Make sure you have it from the Made in America store. Check it out on the front page.
I've got a wild Made in America story. I was just waiting for the subject to come up. But Sunday afternoon, I decided that if I was going to follow my cardiologist's order and start walking, that I had to put something on my feet other than sandals. So I went out and I drove directly to my New Balance store. And I got out of the car and I went in, looked at this, looked at that, tried this on, and just thought, this is heaven. Some of these shoes are just unbelievable. I finally picked out a pair. I loved them. Put them in the box, and I proceeded to the counter. On my way up to the counter, I looked at the box, and the box said, Made in Vietnam. So I stopped, cold my tracks, and I went to find the salesperson somewhere, and I said, ma'am, these shoes were made in Vietnam. And she looked at me deadpan and surprised as ever and said, so? And I said, I come to New Balance because New Balance makes all of their athletic wear in the United States. This is, you're made in USA. And she said, oh, come with me. And we went over and took a look at this aisle. About one third of it were in gray boxes. And she said, these two models, and don't look at the second one because we don't have very many of that, but we have a lot of these right here. These are the two models that are made in the United States. We don't build anything else in the United States. I said, how long's that been going on? And she said, well, 5 years.
So, Larkin.
She said, I suspect those two models are going to eventually disappear, and so will our plant, and we will have nothing made in the United States.
So, Larkin, that's a New Balance store?
Yeah.
Yeah, wow.
But actually,
so the movie was made in 2013, and they were stronger. I went to Dick's not too long ago. It's probably been a year because I wear New Balance, and I ran into the same problem. I'm like, what? Because I knew the people in the movie, but ain't that sad? And they did the same thing to me at Dick's, this one. And I'm like, you're kidding me.
Yeah, and don't pick this one much because they told me that's a good looking shoe, but don't pick that because I think looking at my feet, don't have your size, and really have no selection. So we have this one model, and I just looked at him and I went, and the shoe was $129. The pair of shoes I had in my hand were $59.95. On sale, from $69.95, I believe, or $79, maybe.
I run into that Larkin with Thorogood we sell, too, which is a heck of a boot. But you'll find the same. You know, they star for me, the ones made in America. We sell Thorogood, which is a top ISO 9000 boot. But you see the same thing going on. But I hope this, with the pandemic, the dependency on China exposed, and I hope this all changes that for the better, too.
You know, first of all, I want to just say this. Many times I meet people, but they would always point down at New Balance to show me that they are supporting American made. I think people better start looking very closely.
Yeah, you got to make sure.
Oh, yeah, now it's starting to really get spooky.
That's a great story, Larkin, because it's the truth.
But you know what the sad part of it is? Why are New Balance people that promoting themselves as American saying, look, we had to go outside the country, but we do have a selection of American-made. You can take your choice. I don't like that. They should really... Everybody, I'm glad you said that, Larkin, because everybody start looking. People looking down at MB on their shoes, showing me, oh, look, I'm a supporter of American sneakers. See that, how it goes, guys? This is what it is. It's all nonsense we're up against.
And we want more manufacturers of the sneakers, footwear, maybe well, produced now. Maybe the seed's planted. Maybe somebody else comes out with that Made in America shoe.
Well, that's right. Do we need New Balance? How about we have America Balance or AB or something? We don't need these names, these big corporation names that we have to have that particular name. Forget it. Whoever comes up with a product that's made in America, willing to take a stab in the dark to make something come about. Let's get it. Let's get it moving.
But I have to credit Larkin, though, right, Larkin? Because you did, let's be honest, you did with what 98 other consumers wouldn't do. You said, right. Is there something made here? Do you have, and if there's not, there's not. You need a pair of shoes? They don't have it? You walk out the door. Okay. But you asked. And then they said, yes. See, ask and ye shall receive.
Right. That's exactly right. You shall receive. They took you, and at least they showed you the amount of inventory that they had that was American made. Now,
I mean, the lady you spoke, if you had went to that lady and said, if it said made in China, and you went to that lady and said, ma'am, did you know that these sneakers were made by a bunch of captive 3-year-olds in a work concentration camp? She'd have said, so what's for dinner?
That's true.
Yeah, see,
and then having a conversation with her, she said to me, and a young girl, so she can't be held hostage over this. I mean, she's making $12 an hour, $10 an hour, and selling tennis shoes, and is going back to study for college that evening. But I said, does anybody ever question you about this? And she said, you know, occasionally we'll hear that people make remarks. A lot of times it's an off-the-cuff remark that we don't acknowledge, they don't acknowledge, and life just goes on. And I said, what does that mean? And she said, well, they come in and they sit down and they're trying on shoes and they say, you know, the reason I come here is because I like your style of shoe and it's made in America. Now, we don't stop and say, whoa, 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 we make four. We make four different models of shoe in this country. Every other shoe we make comes from China.
Yeah, and that's false advertising in a way, Larkin, drawing the people in and not
well,
telling them.
They don't say, no, whoa, 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 excuse me. My shoes are made in Vietnam, so.
It'd be nice to have a letter to give to these stores when you walk in. Here's a letter. Give that to your buyer, please. I'd like you to, you know, sell more made in America. I'd like any store you want.
It would be
nice to have a card.
But Mark, you see, you just hit on maybe the primary challenge and obstacle, which is that look how hard it is to sell to someone made in America. It's hard. You would think, why is it so difficult? Hey, don't you want to buy products made here? Well, I do, but. But don't pay the bills, Mark.
Yeah, but what's, well, what is, what is the...
businesses they do, but not in this one.
But Larkin asked the question, why don't the people care? What do we have to do to motivate them more?
Well, Rich hit on convenience is always there, but you've got to wake them up, the movie, you know, the whole thing. They've got to believe and do their part. Consumers have all the power, even we the people right now. It's coming down to we the people, the consumer, for everything.
And, you know, it's not that
they get educated.
You know, it's not that people are not understanding that they took the industries out. There are huge amounts of people living in poverty, and some of them are very wonderful people, and they can be trained for new types of jobs. Why aren't they doing it is the question. Because nobody in our great elected offices in Washington and from the cities and states that they represent wants to shake up the tree. They just want to let the apples keep growing and growing, and hopefully they'll just, you know, rot on the vine and we'll never see an apple on the ground. It doesn't make sense to me. It's up to the people to contact their local people and say, we need more jobs in this particular region.
Michael, the reason someone won't bring it up is because they are afraid to have to defend their position. Mark, you're not afraid to defend your position. You're not in Congress saying, we're the land of opportunity. Let's roll out the red carpet for the whole world. You see, the last guy who was in there said, you know what? We should kind of cut that down a little bit. But yet he went out and defended that position. Now, if you disagreed with the position, that's fine. You could disagree and have a worthless opinion about it. But these guys don't do it, Mark, because they're afraid to have to go and defend it. You're not.
You're not
afraid to defend me in America. It's your damn livelihood.
Now,
for God's sake.
You know, Rich, you're at the point where you'll be involved more and more with your kids going to school. Are you going to bring up different things to the school board and to the school meetings that you want to see your daughters have every opportunity for every type of job training that's available in the United States? I'm sure you will.
Palm Beach County School Board's lucky that I ain't attended their meetings yet, but now that my kid will be in the school starting in the fall, I told my wife, every third Wednesday in a month, make sure that calendar's blocked off, Mark, for the evening, because Dick Logis has got a place to be every third Wednesday. And that's
excellent.
That school board meeting.
Now, see, this is what, but the thing also, Rich, I'm going to depend on you to ask, why can't a lot of the questions that should be answered, like how are we going to provide certain educational programs to the school, maybe in the bigger school, eighth, ninth, why can't we give some more job training possibilities, let the kids look at career opportunities? That should be on the election ballot where the taxpayers make a decision and the school board becomes the people who take care of the decisions made by the taxpayers. That's the bottom line. There's nobody ever speaking about that all over the United States. There's this unified group of representatives of the school boards all over the United States. Yes, there's an organization like that, but there's no organization of parents saying, we got to get together and talk about things we want taught in our schools. A school board says, we want this particular subject taught or you can graduate. Boom. Why can't we have things that we need today to keep our industries?
Well, I just want to mention, Michael, just as a quick point, and it's a point that, you know, Larkin will particularly appreciate being a fellow Floridian, is that my child is going to attend, my oldest is going to attend one of two charter schools. And here in the state of Florida, a charter school is essentially a private school, but is part of the public school system. So the tuition is publicly funded like a public school. School admissions have been increasing for over a decade. This is why it's important, Larkin, that we make sure that we don't become New York and California and Illinois and New Jersey and Nevada and Colorado and Arizona and Georgia, because that charter school funding will be cut, if not altogether eliminated, if it doesn't happen. So in here, Michael, in Florida, again, nowhere's utopia, but we're trending in the right direction. We've been trending in the right direction with public ed overall. And so unless something changes in our lives, me and my wife, that's where my kid will be attending, and she will be in a charter school where she was accepted.
You know, I like the idea of parents being able to take the dollars that it would cost to have a first grader, second grader, and go to any school of their choice. The dollar should be able to follow the kids, not the kids be pushed into one particular school system. It doesn't make any kind of sense. Today we are living in a situation in the United States with so much poverty, so many employers looking for jobs because people never had any type of focus, consistency, and training for the future while they were in grade school, middle school, and high school. That's really the bottom line that we're suffering from right now.
So I wanted to alert everybody about an interview on CBS of our former president, George W. Bush. Go out of your way to watch that, and let's talk about it next week. Unbelievable interview.
Larkin, make sure, send me an email on that if you would, and I'll try to spread it around. Well, ladies and gentlemen, as you can see by the clock on the wall and you can hear by the music in the background, which Henry is playing, it is time for us to say farewell, David Zenya, till next Wednesday at 11 or this Saturday at 11. I want to wish you and yours the very best. Please speak up where you shop in support of American Made. And go out of your way to spread the word about the Buy American Made campaign to your family members and friends, because our future depends on it. Until we meet again, God bless you, God bless America, and stay well and be happy.